Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio are the co-hosts of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northland International University, and also the President of Northland, Dr. Matt Olson. And so, guys, it's good to have you in the studio today.
Good to be back.
We're looking forward to opening the Word and talking about a very important life-changing topic.
Well, we got a great topic to talk about. We got our Bibles open. You know, we were talking before the broadcast, and we want to begin a small series of broadcasts today entitled Prospering Under Pressure. And it's really a discussion on how to handle the multiple responsibilities of life that come on each of us at different stages of life as God increases our ministry responsibilities or as more and more starts coming on our plate. This is a topic that I think every Christian has to deal with. How do you handle multiple responsibilities? How do you prosper under pressure? And Doc, you, as we were talking before the broadcast, you kind of introduced a little phrase called the maze of life. And that kind of stuck in my head as I thought, you know, when we introduce this topic, I want to use that because life does really seem like a maze at times.
Well, when you examine the generation that we live in the United States, it is high speed, high pressure, demand for high performance. And even though you try to be rightly driven in ministry, you find yourself getting caught up sometimes just to try to keep pace with what is happening. And the first thing that goes when we get into this maze is our intimacy with God. Because if anything is going to be cut when demands are high, the thing that will be cut first will be that solitude that we have with God in the morning. Because we feel like we have to jump right into our day. Well, we pull our power plug.
Yeah.
And we just go on dead batteries. We'll go until we come to a hill and we realize we just don't have it. And we get helpers to push us over, and we get a downhill run. We feel okay again. But it's not unlike what men in the Scriptures and women in the Scriptures have experienced. This is not like some new phenomenon.
I mean, Matt, can you relate to what Doc's talking about here? I mean, I can. I can think of things right now in my own life that are going on that look like a big maze to me.
There's so much stuff in life that you feel like you're just constantly on a hamster on the wheel, you know, and it's hard to know where to cut things out and what does get crowded out. I found out is my alone time with God, which is your lifeblood. And I think this, that it's one thing to have a good quiet time, but most people, it's even if they do have it, it's rushed. It's not pulled away, like Doc O was saying, solitude, quietness, where you're listening to God speak through His Word to you. I think that that's why Christians today are on vapor. I think they're not able to do well in life because they've lost that.
Well, you know, it's interesting about it for me, and I may be thinking about this in the wrong way, Doc, but let me just throw out, and you guys can beat up on this a little bit, but it seems to me that I get to that point, I'm in the maze, and my batteries are dying, I'm out of energy, I'm on fumes, I'm in the maze, I start looking at my life, and here's my assessment of it. This is way too busy. I'm just way too busy. I got to get a bunch of stuff out of here. And I think the solution to all of it is to get rid of a bunch of stuff. You know, and then you hear people talk, and you kind of get this impression that a godly Christian is a person who has an 8-to-5 schedule, and everything's scheduled in it, and, you know, nothing in his life is ever out of control. Nothing in his life is ever haywire. And then you go to scriptures like the one we're looking at with Moses, and it seems like, man, this guy has way more pressure than I could ever think about. You know, the Apostle Paul, I don't think he had a very carefully planned out itinerary with stops, you know, at every so many miles and, you know, a little carefully packed bag. I think he was just basically living under the pressures of life, and yet they seem to have this very thing that we're all talking about missing. So what, I mean, am I on that point, or, you know, do we need to start, like, stripping a bunch of stuff out of our life? Is that what's going to solve all of this?
Well, stripping is the overreaction. I think where we start selecting is a balanced approach, where if we just start stripping, well, I'm going to stop everything. That's what I get sometimes. I'm going to stop everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, when you feel a certain pressure at a certain time, your solution is to stop everything rather than just start selecting things that need to be done. And something I wrote down years ago, I just found this in a folder here. Progress tricked us into trusting it, then it exhausted us.
Hmm.
In other words, we start seeing progress, it tricks us. We get tricked into trusting it. then we, to keep it going, we get exhausted trying to keep progress going. So then you go back to the basic. Is progress of God or is it of us? And obviously when you look at the life of the apostles and the apostle Paul, which has been a stabilizer for me all the time, these men plowed forward with an aggressiveness that is extremely convicting to me. And normally when I am pressured, it's because I have an expectation that was not fulfilled, perhaps, but it's nothing like having to get down to the seaport to find a government ship that's going in a general direction where I'm going to try to go and present the gospel to somewhere else, and then to be have a ball and a chain tied to you, which in itself is pressure sometimes. But Paul's gaze was so much higher. These tangible things that were around him didn't affect his thinking, because that time of aloneness that he had with God before he started public ministry so fixed him in his gaze that only occasionally would that be rocked. Mm-hmm. And it was out of pure weariness where that would be rocked. Not even rejection, but weariness before he found that peace. And I think if we discuss the idea, a girl, one of the counselors asked, how do I have a personal devotion? Because they're going, the counselors here this summer are going into a very busy, very committed summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through this little progression that I tried to go through in the mornings. And there is a 6-step plan from Stephen Olford's book on devotions. And it may be a good place for us to begin. And how do we get through this maze of life? When we wake up in the morning, what is priority number one?
So let me ask a question. I'm just trying to make sure we capture it for, well, number one, that I capture it, and then number two, that we capture it for the listener. You're saying that the solution to the maze, to handle pressure and prosper under multiple responsibilities, is not just the elimination of the things that are giving us pressure, but it's really a deepening of the first thing we tend to give up. It's a deepening of our intimacy with God.
Well, that's where it has to begin. Because what is our strength as believers? I mean, we're not running a corporation that is of the world and God is not a part of it. Mm-hmm. We have surrendered as believers to God's absolute control. And so it's not like we are left powerless. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that word dynamite in strengthen there appears in many places in Paul's ministry. So Paul's enablement did not come from his energy. His enablement came from his dependency.
It's interesting, Doc, you brought that up because, you know, in Acts, as Paul says goodbye to the Ephesian elders, he tells them, I'm going to commend you. I'm going to entrust you to the grace. The enablement is the word there that comes from his word. So I do think we're on to something. I do think you're right that at the heart of all of this, surviving the maze and prospering under pressure, under all these multiple responsibilities, is going to come back to the enablement that comes from the Word. So why is it that that's the first thing that goes out of our life?
Well, you look in the family and time and marriage, time with your wife is usually the first thing that goes. It's, to me, it's the way that Satan works against us, too. He knows, he targets what is most essential for us, to have a good home, to have a good family, to have a walk with God, to have a Christian life that's genuine and authentic, not just superficial and busy. And so I think the spiritual warfare is intense. And we're proud people. By nature, we get a lot of satisfaction with doing. And we begin to measure our Christian life and our success by how much we do. And I think that what we're talking about here is being still, very hard for us, being quiet, having solitude. It's a war to be able to do that. And I think that, you know, you cannot have a meaningful time with God unless somehow there's time carved out, set as a priority. And the fact that you are disciplined does not make you spiritual. But it's impossible to be spiritual without some measure of discipline. Discipline's at the core of being a disciple. And so I think for me, it's setting an appointment every day with God. And that's like I would go to the doctor or go in some other place. It's with a very important person, so to speak. I set an appointment every day. And what's hard for me is not just setting that appointment, but clearing my mind away, too, because I tend to, when I sit down, and I think that part of these, what, Doc, you're going to go through with the Stephen Olford suggestions, is that we've got to wait on God and get our minds focused, because if you just sit down every day, say at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and you run through this spiritual routine, a checklist you can get up and leave and never have really met with God. You just kind of did your thing. And it becomes a ritual, not deepening a relationship. So to me, it's like spiritual warfare.
Doc, you said that for a long time. And I've heard you say many times that you can be disciplined, but discipline doesn't equal spirituality.
No, the hairless Krishnas were disciplined. And I remember meeting them in the airport, and they would stand for hours. I mean, you talk about disciplined. No, because you look at how many of the cults have very disciplined patterns. I mean, extremely disciplined patterns. To the Christian, it's not the discipline so much as it is the declaration of dependence. We don't meet with God in the morning to demonstrate our discipline, but to declare dependence. And when a person is declaring dependence, he doesn't have to worry about discipline. He is going to be driven to that place. Yeah. And I've been reading through Psalms, and I just finished Job. And every time I cried, I prayed, he heard, I circle it. And my last few pages of the devotional journal circle prayer, 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 prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And David didn't say, oh, I must get up and I must now go and have me. No, he got up so burdened and so dependent, the cries automatically poured out in his heart. And as believers, I think that's where we need to get. But while we don't eliminate things in looking at how do we reorganize, I do think we need to build in margin.
Yeah.
And that book that Dr. Swenson wrote years ago called Margin, which is really, really loaded with a lot of excellent things. And he defines margin. He said margin is the space that exists between ourselves and our limits. Now, there is that. I'm at the end of myself. This is my limit. Margin is that space in between those times. And it would be a good thing for us to try to think, how do we build in margin? Sometimes it is not possible. And I am the least of all to be even talking about it. Because as I look back over my last 45 years of ministry, I talked about getting these margins built in. But oftentimes it just didn't happen.
And Matt, I think that goes to the back end of your statement. You don't become spiritual by simply being disciplined, but the process of being a disciple does involve, to some measure, some discipline.
There has to be structure. I think that, you know, what's going to happen is if you don't think the first thing of my day is I've got to meet with the Lord, I mean, that just has to be a pattern. And it's a mindset that you've got to continue throughout.
And at the end of the day, surviving the maze of life and prospering under pressure does, to many, many degrees, depend on that dependence that we have every morning of getting up and getting alone time with God. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.